AccuWeather weather forecast says it'll be cloudy with a chance for flurries and a high today around the mid-30s. Nearly 20 people addressed the Racine County Board before last night's vote on whether to sell the Ridgewood Care Center, nearly evenly split between those who urged the board to vote yes and those who said the county should vote down the sale and hold a referendum on the issue. Among those who spoke, Mary Paulson, who accused board members of making a decision without input from the families of Ridgewood residents and the facility's employees.
Some say it's too late for a referendum. Too late? The community has just awakened to the reality of losing Ridgewood, and we have not had time to challenge all of the assumptions and guesses about how good it will be if a for-profit corporation takes it from us. If you really want to make a good decision, make it with us, the owners of Ridgewood. Debate it, make your case, and then let us vote.
Nancy Katrine urged the board to support the referendum.
Some people may feel it is too late to do anything. Now, no, it is never too late to do the right thing. Raise residents' fees at Ridgewood if you need to, raise taxes, but let's keep Ridgewood a great nursing home.
Andrew Ewert, a Waterford Village trustee, supported selling the facility.
Government should not be in the healthcare business. It's proven through the Affordable Care Act. We've seen the costs skyrocket and skyrocket. So I'm just going to leave you with this. If you're going to fund the Ridgewood facility, how much money are you guys going to cough up for the facilities out west? We've already talked here about it, all being fair. We're all a county, right? We're all here to help each other out. So how much money are you guys going to give us out west?
Jeff Neubauer heads up Kranz Incorporated. He supported the sale, says it's no longer operationally viable for the county to run a single location nursing home. The board also rejected the proposed referendum. The Racine Common Council has granted Venue Works just a one-year contract extension versus 2 years recommended by the Finance Committee and wants an aldermanic ad hoc committee to review the agreement for the company to manage the festival site and Memorial Hall properties going forward. After first rejecting an early amendment for just a six-month deal, Alderman Jason Meekma felt that 1 year was a good compromise.
I commend the Alderman of the 3rd District is coming up with a really good, fair compromise between both parties. I think that's a really good sign. It's a good, high-functioning move for the board, for the committee to make. I think that's great. So I support the motion as well.
Alderman Ray DeHaan, noting Festival Park was tied into the county's construction of Reef Point Marina, said it was all part of a vision 30 years ago.
If we don't have a vision about what we're doing, then we don't belong here. And I think it's important that we look at this objectively. Our job is not to run day-to-day operations. Our job is to oversee our people that are doing the day-to-day operations to make sure that they're doing what we ask them to do.
The voting process in favor of the one-year contract extension included a consistent no from Alderman Jeff Coe. A man from Milwaukee facing charges in Racine County accused of robbing a gas station in Norway in September. 23-year-old Shaquille Stone in court charged with armed robbery and operating a motor vehicle without owner consent. It was September the 29th. A man armed with an AK-47 robbed the BP gas station on Loomis Road. Stone is scheduled to be back in court next week. And a fire in a Pleasant Prairie home yesterday afternoon actually put itself out. Fire crews called out to 2992 27th Avenue, found that a heater on a fish tank had overheated, causing some smoke and flames. Now, the fire department says the fish tank broke and the water put out the flames, the occupants then able to return back to their residence. A detached garage at 2432 Eaton Lane in the village of Mount Pleasant on the northwest border with Racine by the airport went up in flames Tuesday night. Nobody got hurt. A vintage car from 1923, which had been restored, saved by the owner with some minor damage. South Shore fire crews called out to the scene just after 6:30. Damage described as extensive to the point of the garage and its contents, minus the roadster, being declared a total loss. How the fire began, that is still under investigation. Last night's debate on the sale of the Ridgewood Care Center was interrupted when the fire alarms began to sound at the Isgrove office complex. Supervisors, spectators, even the media gathering up their belongings, heading for the upstairs on the main floor, but everybody decided to stay inside the building. After about 10 minutes, the alarms were turned off, and everybody went back down to the county board chambers, only to have the alarm sound periodically for several more minutes. Supervisor Mark Gleason taking note later that the building is in violation of safety codes.
There's no exit plan. There's no emergency exit plan by the doorways. The fire department, while they responded, this building should have been evacuated until the fire department cleared it.
Gleason suggesting that the board needed a little training regarding proper response to alarms. False alarms had apparently been a problem with the building for the past couple of days because of the cold weather. City of Milwaukee is going to start to remove those lead water service lines in the spring, according to Mayor Tom Barrett. He signs the new ordinance to authorize replacement of the pipes and creation of a special assessment for private properties. There's a new study out from the Commonwealth Fund that shows health insurance coverage under Obamacare has provided medical coverage to millions of Americans otherwise who are skipping doctor visits. The number of adults who otherwise would go without medical coverage due to the cost fell by nearly 20% between 2013 and 2015. 91-year-old Dick Van Dyke going back to the big screen in a Mary Poppins sequel. It's been more than half a century, but Van Dyke has decided it's time to do one to be produced by Disney. He, of course, played Bert the Chimney Sweep as well as banker Mr. Dawes in the 1964 film. In the sequel, he's going to play Mr. Dawes' son. Van Dyke says he'll be in London this spring shooting his part. He describes it to Entertainment Tonight as a little song and dance number. Emily Blunt set to play Mary Poppins. A proposed advisory referendum to fight back against a Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission ruling on corporate spending for political campaigns, declaring corporations to have constitutional rights, is being supported by the Racine Common Council's Committee of the Whole. George Penn, with the group United to Amend in Wisconsin, said this movement is taking place all across the state because the current system is, in his word, dysfunctional.
The reality is a functioning republic requires the citizens to be involved to do this, to make this possible. We can't have a republic that doesn't have citizen involvement. And municipal involvement is not only appropriate, I think, but necessary, because this is how people are getting a voice now. We don't have referendum at the state level. Some states have that.
Alderman Jim Morgenroth said this kind of business not in the aldermanic handbook.
It has nothing to do with national affairs, referendum or whatever you want to call it. This is what we do. These are the things we decide on week after week. Nothing to do here with, the Palestinians and the Jews. Oh, no, we don't decide on that. Although that came up not too long ago. Let's save our business here. Let's stay to our business.
Alderman Rady Hahn, he supported giving the public a voice.
When people ask, or groups ask for our blessing on something, we've been pretty receptive. And in this case, I think it's an option that the people get a shot at it, let them voice their opinions, and if they shoot it down, they shoot it down. But at least they had a chance to say something about it.
The advisory referendum request was supported on an 8-4 vote. Alderman Lemke, Perez, Morgenroth, and McCarthy opposed to it. The recommendation will go to the January 17th council meeting for a final vote. Santa Claus, something special going on with the kids at Frank Elementary School in Kenosha. He's visiting with the students in the library right now until 2:30 this afternoon. It's actually a special partnership with Walgreens, the Frank Neighborhood Project, Rust-Oleum, and the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department. Every year, Santa stays until every student has received a gift, wrapped by one of the staff members and the volunteers the night before. Harborside Academy students, they're Santa's elves, and they pass out the gifts. Most of the families in the Frank Elementary School attendance area are living at or below the federal poverty level. That according to Kenosha Unified Superintendent Dr. Sue Savaglio-Jarvis. Some nonprofit organizations renting space in the Racine City Hall Annex had been recommended to keep paying their 2016 rental rate next year by the Public Works Committee, others to cough up another 2.2%. But the Common Council rejected that last night when all the discussion ended after some last-minute twists and turns of the process, which means everybody's going to pay. Alderman Sandy Winder noting that the Public Works Committee's recommendation, while not unanimous, would have set a dangerous precedent.
You know, I'm paying about 4% increase in my City of Racine property tax this year, so I don't think that a 2.2% increase in the rents paid at City Hall Annex is going to be hurtful to anyone. So I think that we should follow the original recommendation, which was to increase the rents, the recommended 2.2%.
Alderman Henry Perez, though, says it's hard enough on the nonprofits finding just enough money to operate.
There are also some other agencies within the building that are not paying rent at all. And I thought, and we discussed, and we approved, that the exception could be made for the nonprofits because of the economy. It may not seem like a lot of money. One of them was like $56 or something like that. But when you don't have the money coming in, $56 makes a dent in your budget.
Alderman Melissa Lemke, like in committee, recommended against holding the nonprofit rent at this year's level.
The Public Works and Services Commissioners are dealing with a very complicated sort of rental agreement space that they inherited, which is unfortunate. But I do think that changing the rates for only certain folks or only certain people muddies the waters of some already muddy waters further.
Alderman Mike Shields took note that they'd recently granted free special downtown parking privileges on Saturdays this month, so why not, he said, help the nonprofits at the annex. The bottom line difference, less than $400, with a handful of affected nonprofits at the upper levels of the annex. Those in the basement, including Toys for Tots and the Boxing Club, continue to pay nothing. And a doctor at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin needs more rocks after his take on Nordstrom selling leather strap rocks for the holidays went viral. Well, Dr. David Margolis, he says that Nordstrom's has also agreed to even match the first $50,000 raised by his own rock sale called Rocks for a Reason. He's calling it heartwarming to know that people care about helping kids at the hospital. So far, that campaign has raised over $46,000, contributions coming from 39 states, even Puerto Rico. Plans to use an $850,000 federal grant to help renovate and open up the Shalom Center's new homeless shelter on 39th Avenue in Kenosha took a major hit recently when it was learned that grant would not be coming. But Christmas, well, it came early in response. Shalom Center Director Lynn Beast Carroll tells the Kenosha News offers of help started to pour in. Among them, a challenge match of up to $100,000 proposed by Kay and Dennis Weichel. They've worked with the soup kitchen at the Shalom Center over the years, as well as the INS program, which is the rotation of churches to house the homeless. Beast Carroll says the Weichel's offer and other donations that are coming in, they'll allow the single-site homeless shelter project to continue. The goal is to be open next summer. Racine's Common Council met in Committee of the Whole and recommended a formal process for picking the council president every year. No discussion about it, though, last night. Plenty of it the last time around. That's what led to creation of a recommended ordinance change. City Attorney Scott Letney, in talking about the process, said it will continue to start with nominations at the annual meeting.
All nominees would be able to speak for 5 minutes as to why she or he should be elected president. A vote by open ballot would then be conducted, in which a majority of aldermen present would be required for election.
With more than two nominees, which rarely happens, Letney indicated the top two would then move on, kind of like a primary.
If no nominee receives a majority and there are still more than two who tie for the largest number of votes, the names of those nominees shall be written by the city clerk on individual pieces of paper, and the mayor shall draw two names to be voted upon.
The new language, according to Letney, also specifically limiting involvement of the mayor on a tie vote of the council.
For a tiebreaker, the mayor would only be permitted to break a tie if no nominee receives a majority of the voting aldermen after five successive ballots.
Current Council President Dennis Weiser, whose second term election was the controversy back in April that sparked this revision to the rules, noted the lack of comment to the recommendation seemed to be historic, and it was supported unanimously. And last night at the Racine County Board meeting, nearly 20 people addressed supervisors regarding the Ridgewood Care Center and the proposed sale, which eventually did take place. Mike Ottoline says nobody knows what the future of health care is going to hold.
The past couple of years, the state has been incentivizing home care, which has no doubt greatly reduced and will continue to reduce the patients at this facility. The stagnant and flat Medicaid rates cannot and have not kept up with the growing operational cost of Ridgewood. I have listened to elected officials talk about the necessity of saving Ridgewood, but yet have heard any way they plan on doing this.
The board rejected the proposed referendum and voted 13-7 to sell the Ridgewood Care Center. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.